It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The U.S. Marshals Office has auctioned off nearly 30,000 Bitcoin seized as part of a raid on the online marketplace called Silk Road. We looked at this a few days ago before the auction. Now that it's commenced, some of the website's main currency has gone to an unnamed buyer. And by selling it, the feds may have given it new legitimacy, as Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The U.S. Marshals Service routinely seizes the property of criminals. The marshals only auction stuff off that's legal. You wouldn't have a heroin auction, for example. But the Marshals Service did auction the Bitcoin it seized from the black market website Silk Road. Wedbush Securities analyst Gil Luria says the auction is a stamp of approval.
Because Bitcoin is a legitimate asset, and now the U.S. Marshals Service has acknowledged that.
But even with that legitimacy, Bitcoin still isn't easy to trade. To get it, you have to go to unregulated markets in places like Slovenia or China. Still, CoinDesk U.S. editor Pete Rizzo says the auction helps.
Is it raising awareness beyond where Bitcoin was maybe a month ago? I think absolutely. Does it still have a long ways to go? And I think yes.
The new respectability has pushed up the price of Bitcoin. It fell when the marshals first announced their auction, but it's made up the lost ground and then some. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Speaking of government and tech, the Federal Trade Commission has accused wireless carrier T-Mobile of defrauding customers with bogus charges. The FTC says these charges cost consumers hundreds of millions of dollars. A part of this is about cramming, which has to do with charges from third-party companies. Malini Mithal is an attorney with the FTC and is supervising the filing against T-Mobile. She explains.
These were charges for things like flirting tips, dating tips, horoscopes, and other things that the consumers didn't want. This is essentially charges that appear from other parties on consumers' phone bills, and this is a practice that's called mobile cramming.
Mithal says the FTC is seeking payment from T-Mobile for the erroneous charges.
We want to seek money back for those consumers. We also want to make sure that T-Mobile complies with basic consumer protection laws moving forward.
T-Mobile, by the way, has responded. The company released a statement saying the charges are, quote, unfounded and without merit. Quickly, when I said University of Ohio yesterday during our story about NeuroBridge, I meant, of course, Ohio State University. Apologies to all Buckeyes. Train hopping, the act of getting on freight trains without permission and riding them from depot to depot, is illegal. It's dangerous. It's also something that is, for many, a romantic endeavor, something that captures the American spirit of adventure and travel. Ted Conover did some train hopping. He wrote a book on it some years ago. Then his son Asa read that book. Can you guess what happened next? Yep. Asa graduated from high school and wanted to go train hopping himself. Well, father and son went on an adventure together recently and discovered that new technology had changed the game. Ted, Asa, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
My dad grew up in Colorado and Wyoming, and he spent some time doing this. And he would tell stories about it and say it was difficult to know when you were going to arrive at your destination.
That's really one of the hardest things about this, is knowing where you are, or it used to be one of the hardest things.
Asa, how often do you use your phone?
Every day.
How do you feel like your approach when you did this with your dad was different from the approach of the people that he was sort of documenting who had done this?
Right. Well, the first big difference was that I was really on the trip to see what riding trains was like rather than to see what hobos live like.
Uh-huh.
And we had this great addition of the iPhone, and there were probably four benefits that the iPhone provided us. The first was the ability to tell where we are and where the train might be going, and then to contact home or anyone else if we needed to.
Uh-huh.
The third was we had this guide that an experienced rail traveler had written that my dad had a PDF form of on his phone. So whenever we needed information or insider tips, he could pull that up. And then finally, we definitely wanted to document the trip. So the iPhone let us take photos and send them back home.
Did you discover any forms of technology, either that were parts of the process outside of the phone?
On the security side, we kept hearing about an infrared scanner of sorts that was able to detect hobos that rode the train into the yard.
Yeah, it's in a military base just north of Cheyenne. All Everybody right. says there's this scanner that will find you if you're on a train, and then they'll bust you and you'll be in jail.
Did you come in on one of those trains?
Fortunately, the train stopped probably a mile short of that yard, and we saw on our maps application that there were motels nearby, so we just decided to hop off there and walk it out.
Do you have any larger thoughts just about this experience and why it seems to have been an important subject for you, Ted?
One of the things that hasn't changed at all is that your ability to get from A to B on the rails is 100% determined by your own ingenuity and what you bring to the project.
So you're a hacker in a way.
Yeah,
in a strange
exactly.
way.
Like I could pay for a first class whatever limo ride just by being rich, but I won't get a good train ride unless I'm using all my faculties and my ability to talk to people and my agility to hide in the fourth train over. And in that sense, having a smartphone is just another way to figure out the system. It's incredibly useful that way.
Ted and Asa Conover, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
By the way, that PDF guide they mentioned, Ted Conover says you can't even find it on illegal torrent websites, and he won't divulge the name. But if you want to learn more about train hopping and the Conover's adventure, see pictures, head to marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.